Welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. Starting a new weekly thing. Did it last week. Had a lot of fun with it. So I'm going to bring this back every week during the season. Power rankings. That's my favorite show to do. But now maybe my second favorite when Shane's not around is quarterback power rankings. We're going to do this every Thursday. I got them ranked 1 through 16. And this is not your traditional quarterback rankings. I actually watch all the games. I watch the quarterback, study him up. And that's why I'm doing this later in the week, because I went, man. And one guy, I watch him live on Saturday, but it's a little bit easier to go back throughout the week and watch him one-on-one. So what are these quarterback rankings? This is just, I don't care where you are in NFL draft grades. I don't care about PFF grades. I don't care about recruiting rankings, transfer rankings, none of that. Just we've got two games in now, 2025 season only. What have you done in this current uniform with your current crop of teammates and coaches? So without further ado, here's my list, 1 through 16, after 2 weeks in the SEC season. Appreciate you, Liquid and Darwin, in here. Number 16, we won't spend a lot of time on him. Shout out, Zach Calzada. Dead last in the SEC in passing yards, completion percentage, and passing yards per attempt. He has yet to throw a touchdown for them Kentucky Wildcats, and he may not even be the starting quarterback anymore because he's banged up, which is unfortunate. Not trying to mock his injuries or anything like that, but sounds like Kentucky's going to let it loose with Cutter Bowley a little bit this week. So, let's see. I don't know where. I don't even know if he's quarterback anymore, but again, try not to be mean, but 16th, and I don't even think that's debatable at this point in time for old Zach Calzada. All right, number 15. Now, we're already getting into good quarterbacks here, right? But again, does it matter what we say all spring and summer and all the hoopla? It does not. Not here. Number 15, DJ Lagway. Shout out, Liquid. Number 14 in passing yards per attempt. The completion percentage is pretty good, but I think anybody that's actually watching Florida knows, and I mean, it's obvious by now, but he just does not look right. He still looks like he's coming back from the injuries. He's not on the same page with his receivers. DJ Lagway, man, you got to step it up in a hurry, and it's not getting any easier with this damn gauntlet coming up. So DJ Lagway, never would have guessed in a million years. Hell, I argued for this guy maybe the best quarterback in the conference all offseason, but he's not been it. And again, the numbers are somewhat impressive, but if you really dig deep, if you actually watch, he's all over the place. He just looks hesitant. He's missing open throws. His numbers should be a lot better. He's got talent around him now. He's got an offensive line. He's got some good receivers. May have the best number one running back in the conference. So there's no excuse for this, and especially given the competition you played and going to LSU with their nasty defense. I don't know if you can't get much lower than 15, obviously, but DJ Lagway could be a little bit lower next week, unfortunately. I hope he's not. All right, this guy took a massive stumble in the quarterback ranking. I was head over heels with this guy after week one. I'm not completely out on him, but Austin Simmons, number 14, tied for number 14 in the conference in completion percentage, 4 interceptions. That leads the SEC in the wrong direction. No other quarterback has 3. There's not a single quarterback in the SEC that's got 3 interceptions. There's a couple that have 2, but Austin Simmons leads the way with 4. He is number 2 in passing yards per attempt. So he's completing some big shots. Again, he's a young quarterback, just coming off his first road start. It's probably not fair to pile on him. I think he could be a lot better player than what he's been, and I think he will showcase that in the weeks to come. But he's just... I don't think Kentucky's good at all. I think y'all know that by now. And the way he performed against them, that's got me massively, massively concerned as Ole Miss gets into much more stiff competition, including this week, perhaps against Arkansas. Shout out Liquid. He says, DJ's just rusty. He needs more time. Oh, that's true. JR, appreciate you. Real question. If Florida beats LSU and USF beats Miami, does that change the Billy narrative? I mean, honestly, I think it would. And that's why I was trying to pump the brakes. If you missed it, go back. The mailbag show. First question, you know, where does Florida turn from here? Again, there's no excuse for losing to South Florida. I don't care if South Florida is legit, let's say, top 20 team, which I don't think they are. But let's say they are, or even better. You cannot be losing to them if you're Florida at home. So, again, there's no excuses, right? But I also, if you go back and watch that game, there's Florida had so many opportunities to put that team away early in the first half. They just couldn't do it. So, I don't know. We're sitting here, what if this, what if that? Billy Napier doesn't got many what ifs left. He's got to deliver, and I think they can beat LSU. So we'll be revealing our picks here this evening, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central. But, I don't want to tip my hand there. But I'll just say this. None of what you just laid out here, JR, would surprise me, and they'd be back. I think Billy's lost all goodwill, but I think people would be like, all right, maybe it is DJ, and DJ being injured is what's killing Florida right now. I think that's a bigger issue than Billy right now. I really do. But it still doesn't mean Billy's a good coach. But JR is a good cousin, not only a good cousin, he is like the anti-Billy Napier of cousins.
Legend, cousin JR has done it again.
Shout out JR, he gifted a membership to Nathan Harvey. Nathan, we appreciate you and welcome to the family. And of course, we appreciate you, JR the legend. So, all right, let's get back into the rankings here. 13, Gunnar Stockton. I thought he took a step in the wrong direction last week against old Austin Peay. I'm not selling him down the river or anything. He's just got 4 touchdowns on the season, no interceptions, but he looks hesitant back here. He's not firing that pigskin when opportunities are there, and he's got better receivers and he's showcasing. And I don't know if he plays like he did last week, even probably against Marshall, which Marshall was completely overmatched opponent. If he doesn't step it up, Georgia's losing on Saturday. It's got to come down to Bo. And right now, I do not have a ton of confidence in Gunner. I'm reading the comments, my bad. I don't have confidence in Gunner, number 13, to get this done necessarily. Now, he proved me wrong. He's going to skyrocket up this list. Because, again, I'm just going off of what we've seen after 2 weeks. And I think even JR, the legend, would say, does Gunner look like $1 million? No, he does not. Man, people are calling me. People are texting me. Big fans over here. They can tell. They watch the show. Not. All right, so again, Gunner, I just don't know where to put him just yet. So I'm not saying he's awful. I'm saying he has proven virtually nothing to me this year, aside from being one tough runner. But he's got to unleash it this weekend. That's what Tennessee, without their top corners, if he's not throwing it against Tennessee, we got a real problem, I think. All right, number 12, God's gift to football. He's moving up. I moved him up a spot or two. Arch Manning, he's hurt. Steve Sarkisian won't admit it, but I'm telling you, Arch is hurt. He's going to move up his list as he gets better and better. But he is 14th in the conference right now in completion percentage. He is not looking good. He's missing open guys. He's throwing guys. He's throwing the ball at guys' feet. He overhyped and under-delivering. I think the pressure's getting to him. I think the pressure's getting to Texas. Clearly, the pressure is getting to Sarkisian with all his shark talk. But, will they rebound? Yeah, I mean, he's going to look like $1 million, I think, the next 2 weeks because UTEP and Sam Houston suck. But I wonder, keep an eye on how much Sarkisian even plays Arch. Because if he'll start, and I think he'll put up big numbers. But if you get up by like 28, 30 points, if he doesn't play him, I think they're giving him some breaks here. You know what I mean? So we'll see how much they run him. How much does Arch throw the ball down the field? That if his shoulder's hurt, he's not going to be pushing the ball down the field, and they're not going to be designing runs for their quarterback, which they probably shouldn't do anyway against UTEP and Sam Houston. So just things to watch as Texas beats the hell out of these next two losers that they're playing. But Arch has got a long way to go to be one of the top quarterbacks in this conference. And he'll get his opportunity. I'm not burying him, but I'm just saying, trust me, bro. So, yeah, Arch, number 12. Ooh, man, biggest dropper of all. This guy dropped 10 spots this week. I was in love, and now I'm out. Sellers, number 11 in the SEC. Again, I'm not going off draft. I'm not going off how red hot South Carolina was last year. I'm looking at this year, and Sellers is way off the mark. He's number 13 in completion percentage in the conference, and this is after playing dog shit South Carolina State. And I know there was a weather delay. There was a weather delay for South Carolina State, too, so I don't really buy that excuse. And now that we've seen Virginia Tech get their ass smoked by Vanderbilt, how good are they? I don't know. Now, to defend Sellers, he's been sacked 6 times. That's the most in the SEC. That's got to get cleaned up. The offensive line is a huge, huge issue right now in Columbia. And again, this is coming off South Carolina State. He's the most sacked quarterback in the SEC. So what's it going to look like? You know, Vanderbilt, maybe not so much, but Missouri's got some good rushers. Hell, we know LSU does. Oklahoma's got the best defensive line maybe in the country. We have got to get this cleaned up, and we got time to get it cleaned up. Again, Sellers is going to – I'll tell you what's going to happen. He's going to jump very high up this list after the Vanderbilt game, or he's going to sink. So we'll find out. You know, the jury is still out on who Sellers is, who this offense is in 2025. But so far, I'd give Sellers probably a C grade, and I'd probably give the offense overall closer to an F. So that's where I got Sellers, number 11. Number 10, Jackson Arnold is looking good. Number 13 in the SEC. That's all positions in rushing with 142 yards. So he cleaned it up a lot more effective as a passer against old Ball State. If you go back and watch that game, Ball State, I mean, that is FBS team, but they look like FCS. So again, that's a credit to Auburn. I mean, guys were just streaking wide ass open. Jackson Arnold was hitting them. He looks like $1 million. He looks like the player we thought he was. I feel bad putting Jackson Arnold at number 10. He's looking great, right? But basically from him up, all these quarterbacks are looking really good. So I'm not really sure where to put Jackson Arnold. He's doing a good job. I got no issues with him. I didn't even care that he didn't throw the ball against Baylor, because that's not what we're asking these guys. We're asking these guys to win football games. He won by 2 touchdowns on the road in a toss-up game, and then he came out and we said, well, can you throw? And I believe he was like 23 or 25 against Ball State with 3 touchdowns. So he could throw against them. Now we'll see. We'll see. They got to get that Oklahoma game. I just can't wait for it now, because Auburn is going to be undefeated and Oklahoma is going to be undefeated. And what a damn game that's going to be, you know what? All right, number 9. I didn't give this guy enough respect last week. I kind of trashed him. Not trashed him, but just put him too low. He didn't deserve it. Give me Ty Simpson, number 9. And I get it. Alabama's already shit the bed in the opener, but it was not on Ty Simpson. The opener was not on Ty Simpson. He looked solid. And then last week, if you missed it, and I don't blame you if you did, because they just were playing ULM, who gives a damn, but he was literally perfect against ULM. He was 17 of 17. Ty Simpson is engineering this offense in a very, very high productive manner with Ryan Williams. Didn't even play last week. His starting running back hasn't played yet this season, and the offensive line didn't give him any time against Florida State. So Ty Simpson, I think, has been a pleasant surprise for a largely disappointing season at this point in time for Alabama. But I think Ty Simpson's your guy, and you can win with Ty Simpson. Now, can you win on the road? Every one of these road games for Bama, at Georgia, at Missouri, at South Carolina, at Auburn, they're all losable if Ty Simpson does not deliver, and particularly the offensive line. But again, I'm buying in Ty Simpson stock right now. I think he's just going to get better and better as he continues to progress in this DeBoer Grubb offense. All right, number 8. This one's for Cousin Schwen, Loyal Schwen. Wish he was in here so he would see this, and He'd still bitch that I didn't have this guy high enough. But give some love, folks, to Blake Shapen, won Mississippi State the game, beat Arizona State with a walk-off touchdown, essentially. Blake Shapen is number 5 in the SEC with 551 passing yards. He's been highly efficient, 4 touchdowns, only 1 interception. Mississippi State looking fantastic. They're going to cruise to 4-0, and they're going to be a big talking point going into SEC play with 8 consecutive conference games. Good Lord, that's going to be difficult. But who cares? We're living the high life right now because we're 2-0, and we just beat a number 12 team in the country. So Blake Shapen, you deserve your flowers. I may not even have you high enough. He's executing this offense. He's clutch. And now he has battled injuries. That's a big concern for him, but he hadn't this year. So Blake Shapen, number 8, and you're moving up this list. All right, number 7, this guy really moved up the list this week. Yeah, this probably won't be enough for this fan base. They'll still give me hell about it. Give me Marcel Reed, number 7. Number 2 in the SEC with 7 passing touchdowns. He's yet to throw an interception. He leads the team in rushing. I mean, he's doing it all. He's looking great. Now you say, well, why number 7 then? Well, I mean, there's no knock on him, but I think we really reserve judgment on where he is after this Notre Dame game on the road. So he has been great. I think all these quarterbacks have been really good. Again, after 10 and up, have been solid. It's a struggle to rate these guys, but I love the weapons. I love what Marcel Reed is doing, executing this offense. He added a lot better touch to his passes, I thought, in week 2. He's getting better and better as the season's progressing. But now it's time to go out there and prove it to us against Notre Dame. And I'll tell you this. If he has a good game against Notre Dame on the road, he is going to skyrocket into the top 5 and probably not even be 5. So Marcel Reed got you at number 7. That's 5 spots higher than I had you last week. So I'm starting to feel the love there. Another guy that I'm starting to love, this guy could go one of 2 ways. He's going to jump up the list or he's going to skyrocket down. And that's Joey Aguilar, number 6 in the quarterback rankings. He's been great. I retweeted this article from CBS Sports, if anybody interested. It was pretty interesting. It featured a lot of people inside the Tennessee building and just kind of the dynamics of Joey Aguilar and Nico and how they said they'd do the trade again. I mean, Joey Aguilar has been fantastic. Not really been tested. I mean, Syracuse, I guess, was a test. I had no idea what to expect from him in the opener. He looked like $1 million. He didn't play a ton last week. They didn't need him, but he came in there and look damn near perfect. So, again, we will know truly how to accurately judge Joey Aguilar after Saturday playing Georgia at home. But I was on a Tennessee show recently, and I said, Joey Aguilar, he's not a legend. He's like a fan favorite right now is probably where I'd put him. He has a chance to be a legend if he can beat Georgia on Saturday with all the Nico drama and all that. He immediately enters into legendary status, and he may even get to some Heisman buzz. If he has, let's say, again, do I think this is going to happen or am I guaranteeing or anything? No, but let's say he has like 3 touchdowns and 300 yards against Georgia and he's the difference in Tennessee winning, then I think we have to consider him for the Heisman, right? So we're kind of putting the cart before the horse, but I'm just saying there's a lot on the line for Joey Aguilar this week on Rocky Top, number 6 quarterback in the rankings. Number 5, give me old Garrett Nussmeier. Shaky performance. And this number stood out to me, number 15 in passing yards per attempt. So he's not getting a lot of yards this year, a lot of dink and dunk. LSU is not converting on the big play as of yet. Now, we're not just looking at stats here, though, right? Because he went on the road and beat Clemson, who we all know they suck. They're overrated. I agree with all that. But still, that's a very difficult week 1 opponent with a solid defense, with that crowd going into that game. That impresses me more than just about anything we've seen this season. We've got a couple guys ahead of him, so maybe not more than anything, but equal to a lot. So I like Nuss. He's got a lot of room to go up. But that Louisiana Tech game kind of scared me. And I know Brian Kelly, I don't know if you've heard his comments, but he tried to paint a damn rosy picture of how good Louisiana Tech. I've even seen it in the comments. God, Louisiana Tech. Now, that's a tough defense. 3-3-5. You don't just go up and down. Get the hell out of here. They suck compared to LSU's talent playing at home. There was no excuse for that performance. You were getting dominated on the line of scrimmage. Nuss was off with some of his passes. And then the ones he was on with, receivers were dropping it. So that had nothing to do with Louisiana Tech having some dynamic defense. Just for fun, shits and giggles here, I'm going to look up, because I have no idea, what did Louisiana Tech do week one? Maybe that'll tell us. They beat Southeastern Louisiana 24-0. So maybe they do have a damn gauntlet of a defense. They shut out Southeast Louisiana. But I have a feeling Louisiana Tech is not that great. I think LSU, again, and I thought it would happen. I think they just, you know, you get the biggest win maybe of the Brian Kelly era, biggest win of the season to date, week one in college football. There's going to be a natural letdown. There better not be this week because Florida's coming. And if LSU's offense plays as poorly or as average as they did against Louisiana Tech, they're getting beat this weekend. You can make all the Billy Napier jokes you want. They're getting beat if they play like they did last weekend. Number four, this may surprise you, but not if you actually watch this guy play this year. Diego Pavia. Come on, baby. He is lighting it up. He's number one in the SEC in passing yards per attempt, 10.9 yards per attempt. So nearly 11 yards per pass attempt. That's insane. That's like Hendon Hooker level efficiency. I know it's just two games. I know the competition's not great, but there is a Power Four game on the road. They went and smoked their ass. He's number 18 in the SEC in rushing. That's all positions. He's number two in passer rating. Diego Pavia is a damn problem. He's got weapons this year. Aside from Stowers, they didn't really have good receivers last year. They've got a bunch this year. So, I'm higher on Pavia than I am Sellers going into this huge matchup on Saturday. And now he's going to have to do it. This will be by far the best defense he's faced this year, South Carolina, on the road. It's going to be one hell of an environment. But if they play the way they have been playing, Vanderbilt, that is, and if South Carolina plays the way they've been playing, Vanderbilt's going to whoop their ass. I mean, I don't even think it'll be close. Now, is that how it's going to play out? Probably not, because it's very rare that you're whooping South Carolina's ass in Williams-Brice Stadium in a night game. But I'm just saying, we're judging this on two games we've seen in 2025, and Diego Pavia is a top four quarterback. That's not debatable if you've watched him this year. All right, number three, this guy looks like $1 million, and they're going to think I have him too low. Come on, Bo, little Bo Peep, bye. God, what a revelation he has been. We were hoping, you know, if this guy is a top half quarterback, how good could Missouri be? He's arguably been, I mean, three. I feel bad putting him number three. He's number one in the SEC in completion percentage, 79%. That's insane. He's number two in passing yards. He's number three in passer rating. He's number five in passing yards per attempt. And he's been sacked five times, which is number two in the SEC. So he's getting pressure on him. So again, you could put him two, you could put him number one, and I wouldn't argue with you. I mean, he's been that damn good. And there was that Kansas game where there was so much pressure, so much hype, and so much going into that in his first performance against a true test, I mean, he aced it. He was so efficient. I think he's the most accurate passer in the conference right now. And a month ago, I didn't know he could throw the damn football. So, and if you're being honest, you didn't know either. So don't just throw me in that boat. But to go from, can this guy even throw the football against major college opponents, to the most accurate passer in the SEC, Bo Prabula, if he keeps it up, he's going to be in the Heisman conversation. So I don't know if he's that caliber. I think Missouri is more of a all-around team, you know, they're great running the football. They got some good receivers, defense. I don't think he's Jaden Daniels 2.0 or anything like that, but hell, after 2 weeks, you could argue he's on that path. So, Bo Prabula, I got you number three. And maybe that's even too low. I don't know. Number two. He's only number three because of these first two guys. Number two. I had him number one. I've been flip-flopping all week. But give me John Mateer. Number two, leads the SEC in passing yards, 662. Number four in passing yards per attempt. How about this? He's number two in the SEC in rushing touchdowns. That's all positions, not quarterbacks. All positions. Number two in the SEC in rushing. Looked like $1 million against Michigan. He did have four passes, though, that were deemed interceptable by our friend Clark Brooks, SEC StatCast. So he's a little, and he's thrown two actual interceptions. So he's a gunslinger, and I'm not even knocking him for it. I kind of like that. I like a quarterback that trusts himself, that's putting the team on his back. John Mateer right now, I think, should be the front runner to win the Heisman Trophy. Now, front runner and best overall player, you know, that's maybe two different things. So John Mateer, you could put him one. I wouldn't necessarily argue with you. He looked like $1 million. He raises the ceiling of Oklahoma tremendously. Love what I've seen from all Johnny Mateer, Moneyline Mateer. But number one, again, if you actually sit and watch these guys, the biggest freak show right now. Maybe that's harsh, but I mean that complimentary, is this man, Talen Green. I mean, good night. Are you watching him? He's tied for the lead in the country with 10 passing touchdowns. He's number six in the SEC in rushing. That's all positions. He had 101 rushing yards after two rushes against Arkansas State. Excuse me. He's got the number one passer rating in the SEC. And it's fair. Maybe you want to say, well, he's played Arkansas State and Alabama A&M. Who the hell are they? That's fine. But, again, we're not necessarily just going off of who have you played and what are your statistics. I'm going off of watching these games, and this guy is like, how the hell do you defend him? I mean, he's got a rocket arm. He's very accurate. And then if you cover all that, he just takes off on you. And, hell, he may be the fastest quarterback in the country. I don't know that I've compared him to Vince Young. That's what he looks like to me. He looks to be of that caliber of a player, and he'll get his first true test here going on the road at Ole Miss, but he's going to be a hell of a problem. And I'm not tipping my hands on any of the picks, but if we're talking true elite, just overall players, I think Talen Green's better than any of them. And now, at the end of the season, will his statistics be better than Mateer or Prabula or any? Maybe, but maybe not, because he doesn't have the supporting cast that those guys have. But, again, if you're telling me after 2 weeks, if I can have any quarterback to win a game on Saturday, I'm taking Talen Green just by a hair over John Mateer and Bo Prabula. Give me Talen Green. He's number one. So, I'm so fired up. I am fired up for some SEC football. Again, this list changed dramatically from 1 week to the next. It'll probably change dramatically. Again, I'll be very fluid with these rankings. I think that's the only way to do it. You got to move them up when they do something good. You got to move them down when they do something bad. Shout out Johnny Delgado. Sellers has the worst offensive line in the conference by far. Beamer has failed him. You know, what's interesting is I know Spencer Rattler, even on this show, caught some hell, right? He was a phenomenal quarterback his last season in Columbia. And what was the problem? Johnny will tell you. Couldn't protect his ass. Their offensive line was dog shit. I believe he got sacked 10 times in the opener. I don't know that I've ever seen that in a game that's not against an FCS team. Rattler got destroyed, and he still was hanging in there, playing tough. I think that's a fair criticism. Now, they have a really talented left tackle. He's a young player. I think the right tackle is pretty good. But, yeah, the interior of the offensive line is, it's if we were doing offensive line power rankings, they'd be near the bottom. So, yeah, Sellers, he's missing passes too, and he's not seeing the field that well either. Now, maybe that's a product of the offensive line because he knows, hey, I got two and a half seconds, or I'm going to be getting hammered here. But it's not all on the offensive line. He's just been a little bit off after 2 weeks, and particularly against that South Carolina State team, did not like what I saw. So that's, man, I should have had the whole graphic here, but let me upload that real quick. We can recap this one thing, a little bit of a shorter show here with this damn hat. Because anytime I don't have to wear the headphones, I'm going to wear a hat. I made that decision. But all right, so here, uploading now, is the quarterback power rankings heading into week 3. Final answer: Taylen Green, number 1. John Mateer, number 2. Bo, number 3. Diego, 4. Garrett Nussmeier, 5. Joey Aguilar, 6. Marcel Reed, 7. Blake Chapin, 8. Ty Simpson, 9. Jackson Arnold, 10. Lenore Sellers, 11. Arch Manning, 12. Gunnar Stockton, 13. Austin Simmons, 14. DJ Lagway, 15. Zach Calzada, number 16. So there's a list for this week. I appreciate you each coming in here and chopping it up. Again, Shane and I will be back 7 Eastern, 6 Central to make our predictions for the upcoming weekend in the SEC. Can't wait for it. Well, that's all I got, and we will catch you this evening. Bye-bye.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.